I mean, just look around. You would have to agree with this statement. It appears as if we're living in an optical illusion or in a matrix. I'm Jeremy Scott from the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest. On Monday night, it's Into the Paranormal, and here we go. You know, I've been looking at a lot of stuff coming from NASA of late. I've been accused of being a mainstream NASA trumpeter. I think that's what I was referred to last. I don't have a trumpet, and I don't sound NASA's bells or horns for them every time I think they do something cool. Of course, if you listen to Paranormal News, you know we cover a lot of what NASA does that is cool. Particularly the pictures that have been captured by the James Webb Space Telescope of late really got folks ooing and awing. We know that those were not the actual pictures that were taken by the cameras on the telescope, at least not in full. They were doctored, they were photoshopped or whatever afterwards, but that happens with NASA pictures. And it leads people to wonder, I mean, why do they have to do this editing? Why do they have to give it this perception that it looks too good to be true? And those were the comments that people were making after the first couple of pictures got released from that James Webb Space Telescope. Wow, this is really high resolution. This is really clear. Here, let's zoom in. Let's see if we can make things out. That was not the actual picture that was taken by the James Webb Space Telescope. And in fact, I've been made aware that there may have been a green screen glitch in video involving the James Webb Space Telescope, which triggers back thoughts of, did we actually go to the moon or was it filmed in a TV studio? I mean, it seems to be in 2022, if you are going to film something in a TV studio, that you might make sure you get it all right, that you test it, that you double test it, that you make sure the green screen doesn't glitch. What about planets? Are those all real? Is there a ninth planet? Is there even such a thing as planets? And what about the Parker Solar Probe? Did that thing actually touch the sun, or is it impossible? Here to have us ponder some of these questions tonight is Lee Austin, who is joining us. It's been several years since we've had Lee on the program. Probably at least 5 years or so since he was on the show last. And he's been monitoring many of these situations that I just outlined. Now, Lee is a writer, a broadcaster, has over 30 years of radio experience, and pushes the esoteric envelope with topics including theology, metaphysics, and conspiracy theories. He was born in Boston, eventually moved to Los Angeles to pursue a career as a stand-up comedian, and with the entertainment bug firmly planted, he found his calling in radio, much like me, crisscrossing the country as a talk show host. I have not done that. I have stayed local. Thank goodness, I've been lucky. He was also program director for several radio stations. He has a book, Morningstar's Tale, which is narrated by Lucifer Morningstar, who reveals the secrets of the flat earth and universe. If you missed our first program with Lee, you got to go back and check that out. But he's here, and he's been looking at all of this weird stuff happening in the skies. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jeremy. Privileged to be on the show.
So let's start here. You say that planets are fictional. Am I putting words in your mouth?
The word planet is fictional, but according to the Book of Enoch and the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch, Enoch himself said he was shown by God that the planets are actually luminaries, sentient beings that are alive. So the stars and the planets, specifically the planets that we see in the sky, according to Enoch, are actually luminaries, and they are alive, sentient stones of fire, is how Enoch describes them in his book.
So is this primarily based off the Book of Enoch, or are there some other factors in it?
When I wrote the book Morningstar's Tale, I actually based it on the Bible, the Book of Enoch, the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, the Book of Jubilees, the Book of Giants, the Book of Noah, and the Secret Teachings of All Ages by Manly P. Hall, and a couple of other occultic books. What I did was come up with this idea that the father of lies decides to tell the truth, to go against his nature, because the reality of the cosmos is so insane to the average person on this particular flat plane that when he tells you the truth, your first reaction is, well, you're insane and this is insane. And that gives him great pleasure because for once in his existence, he's telling the truth and nobody believes him.
So particularly with all the planet talk as far as colonization or habitization, particularly Mars and the moon, are we shooting for a target that doesn't exist?
The targets do exist. I'll just preface everything I say by saying this is what I believe. The moon and the sun are actually directly below the firmament dome. We live in a dome. It's much like the Truman Show. So you have the sun and the moon under the dome, and the reason they don't flicker like the stars and the planets do when you look through a telescope is because they're not going through the lens of the firmament dome. And according to Enoch, there's a much greater sea and ocean above us than below us, as above, so below. So you have the sun and the moon below the dome. Both are easily obtainable. I believe that NASA has gone around the moon numerous times, but they can't land on it because according to the Book of Enoch and the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch and the Bible, the moon is a light and you can't land on a light. So I believe the moon and the sun are about 3,500 miles away and they rotate parallel to the flat Earth, but you can't land on the moon because it's a light. It's a plasma.
So what are they thinking with
crystalline surface?
What are they thinking with Artemis?
Well, they're thinking, you know, we get $58 million a day in taxpayer money from the American taxpayer. And we've been doing this since the late 50s. Let's continue the charade. We haven't been back to the moon in over 50 years, yet the public is so gullible. Let's just create another rocket ship based on the first one that didn't land on the moon and just continue the fiction and keep grabbing money from the U.S. taxpayer.
Interesting. So as far as the dome, do these luminaries, when you view them through the lens of a telescope, have ripples?
Correct. And the reason they have ripples is because they're encased in this ocean, which is on the other side of the dome. We live in the first heaven of the third dimension, and on the other side of the dome is the second heaven of the fourth dimension, which is also where many of the dark angels are imprisoned. This is where you'll find the stars, which are luminaries, the planets, which are luminaries. They're all luminaries. They're alive. And according to Enoch, they run a preordained course. And the ones that did not are the seven rebellious, quote unquote, planets. And those are known as the planets that you and I both know.
Interesting. So what, rebelling from what?
Rebelling from the ordinance of God. There's only two immovable spots in the universe, the flat Earth and Polaris, the North Star. And above the North Star, eventually you get to God's throne. There are actually, according to Enoch, 10 different heavens. There are not three, there are 10. And at the 10th is where God resides. That's where he rules from, directly above Polaris. And the flat Earth and Polaris are the only two immovable spots in the universe, and all of the planets and stars revolve clockwise around Polaris. And it's one of the reasons I believe the Earth is flat, because it always is the same. If you take time-lapse photography, you'll see streaks from every star, and they all rotate clockwise around the North Star Polaris. And they do it in the same pattern 365 days a year. If the Earth was in fact revolving and rotating around the sun at 1,000 miles an hour and 66,000 miles an hour, the pattern of the stars would be much different than what we see, which is orderly, structured, in the same pattern each and every day.
Elon Musk, the SpaceX and Tesla guy, recently admitted that if humans went to Mars, a bunch of us would probably die. Is that because we wouldn't make it there?
I believe that Elon Musk is a flat earther, but he can't admit that because he's part of the elite. And part of the arrangement I believe that Elon Musk has with the elite is that he has to portray himself as controlled opposition. In other words, he's on our side. Even though he's a billionaire and the richest man on the flat plane, he portrays himself as an average guy. Elon Musk, in my opinion, knows the Earth is flat. And when he said that line, I've got the quote here concerning when they shot the Tesla in space. He said, concerning it looking fake, he said, quote, "It looks so ridiculous and impossible. You can tell it's real because it looks so fake, honestly." That was a quote from Elon Musk. That's like saying a chick with falsies, her breasts look so real because they're not.
Well, we know when the government looks at us and says one thing, they're literally telling us what it is they're about to do. You just have to read between the lines. And it sounds like that's what we can determine from Elon Musk's statement as well.
Yeah, I don't believe for a second that he believes we can go to Mars, because Mars is on the other side of the dome. Again, you have the sun and the moon, which are just below the dome. And that's the reason when you look at them, they don't blink, they don't flicker. But if you look at any other planet or star through a telescope, you'll always see them blinking. And that's because these stars and planets are actually the result of solo luminescence, I believe is how you pronounce it. And everything that Tesla was talking about is actually true. Everything has a corresponding frequency. And string theory is not a theory. I believe it is actually true. And as Enoch said, there's 10 different heavens, or if you will, 10 different frequencies, or 10 different dimensions, and each resonates at its own frequency. And the same thing with the stars and the planets. But because the moon and the sun are under the dome, you don't get that ripple effect when you view them.
Okay, so what about Planet Nine? Is that a real thing?
It could be. Since I've written the book, I've evolved in my beliefs of the flat Earth. I'm now also a hollow Earth guy. And the one question that always seems to stump flat Earthers, they can explain a lunar eclipse, but no one can really explain a solar eclipse, because when the sun and the Earth line up and you see that curved shadow going across the moon, everyone says there's your proof that the Earth is curved, that it has curvature. And it was a question and a statement that always intrigued me, because I kept thinking there's got to be something else to it. And the conclusion I've come to is this: perhaps it is Planet Nine that is casting the shadow, because there's been so many instances of a solar eclipse where the moon and the sun are in the sky at the same time, which would negate the idea of the Earth's shadow casting on the moon. So perhaps that is what is causing the solar eclipse, Planet Nine. And the other theory I have, and I'm not too sure about this one, because I now believe in the hollow Earth and the idea of a black sun within the hollow Earth, and the northern lights perhaps are the result of this black sun. Perhaps the sun somehow interacts with these northern lights at certain time periods and creates this solar eclipse.
We mentioned the green screen glitch because we were talking about the stars when it deals with the planets, and you've actually uncovered a clip that shows stars are missing, but what else?
Let me get to that article. I've got all of them right in front of me. Yeah, if you head over to the website, morningstarstale.com, what I've done in the last month and a half, I've taken every article I've written about any of the esoteric subjects or the flat earth and put them up on the website. And I put up a new one each and every day. With this one, you know, just to give a backstory, the purpose of the James Webb Telescope is to travel back in time and observe the moment the universe was created. Astrophysicists believe the Big Bang occurred over 13.8 billion years ago. At least that's the official fictional narrative. I do have a YouTube clip. Actually, it's a Rumble clip showing the glitch. And in the video, the James Webb Telescope seems to experience a green screen glitch at the 1 minute, 1 second mark as the quote unquote round Earth disappears and only the free floating prop remains. And also there's no stars in the background. Apparently they were having an issue with their CGI. And keep in mind, unlike the Hubble telescope, the James Webb telescope will not be in orbit around the Earth in a low Earth orbit, but will orbit the sun 1 million miles from the Earth. So this orbit will allow the satellite, they say, to stay in line with the Earth, protecting it from the sun's heat and light. So in essence, the sun is shadowing it. And again, this is based on the model of the sun being 92 million miles away, which I believe it is not. I believe the sun is about 3,500 miles away, and it is the same size as the moon. And that is the reason when you have a lunar eclipse, the sun and moon seem to cover. And the reason is they're the same size. But you can find that article at morningstarstale.com.
And what? You only see the prop that's left?
Yeah. It's just a quick glitch, but it's enough. I'll tell you what really is blowing me away is a couple of clips I just happened to fall upon. You know, we're in this space race with China now. And I've got an article on the website. It's called No Curvature, Space Station Video of Flat Earth and Stationary Earth. It seems that the Chinese are not even bothering with a fisheye lens. And I've got a video clip. It's a YouTube clip. And at the 21-second mark of this video, you can see the straight edge of the flat and stationary Earth. I've also got another one with a photograph of the flat and stationary Earth. And then about 3 or 4 days ago, just out of curiosity, I started reviewing the SpaceX Falcon 9 video. This one really blew my doors in. If you go to the 6:54 minute mark, and again, these are all at the website, morningstarstale.com, you can see the Antarctic ice wall on the left side of the screen and the flat Earth on the right. You can see the straight edge of the flat Earth, and on the left side is the Antarctic ice wall from about 260 miles up.
Interesting. So the third aspect of this is the Parker Solar Probe. We mentioned, you know, the James Webb Space Telescope. That's up. It's catching pictures. The Parker Solar Probe has had, I think, over a dozen close passes to the sun. But what does the science say as the possibility or the probability of actually pulling off this feat?
Again, I don't think it'll ever be done because the sun is a light. Perhaps they did or they could touch the sun. I do have an article on that. You know, as unbelievable as it sounds, NASA may have actually told the truth. They've got this proclaimed Parker Solar Probe that they say touched the sun and dived into the corona of the sun. That is a possibility because, again, I don't believe the sun is 91 million miles away. I believe it's only about 3,500 miles away. So NASA could literally launch a rocket and shoot a probe into the corona of the sun. There is a possibility that, for once, NASA is telling the truth.
It wouldn't, because it's got this heat shield on it, right, which makes it able to survive this, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. I would assume that as soon as they shoot it into the corona, is going to burn up. Unless they use the same technology they used to land on the moon, you know, aluminum foil and duct tape.
But if you say that it's a light, you can't Correct. Land on it.
Correct. It's a plasma light. What really got me on this journey of flat Earth was the explanation Enoch gave, the revelation he received from God concerning the moon. We're told that the moon reflects the sun's light. In reality, Enoch says the moon absorbs the sun's light and projects its own unique colder light. Over a 14-day period, what happens, and again, this is according to the Book of Enoch and the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch, the sun puts its light into the moon. So each day, 1/14 of the moon gets filled up as it's in its waxing stage. In other words, you have a new moon. 14 days later, it's fully illuminated. On day 15, you have a full moon. And then over the next 14 days, it begins to extinguish itself and eventually move back to a new moon phase. And it does that ad infinitum. But what really kicked it for me was the explanation that the sun pours its light into the moon, and then the moon projects its own unique colder light. And experiments have been done where the moon's shadow is colder than the adjacent moon light. And you can do that, especially the last couple of nights, we've had a full moon. So you have the moon, you have the sun, which is masculine, which projects a warmer light. And then you have the moon, which projects a colder light. And one question I've asked everyone, and no one can answer it, is that when the moon is half lit, what is causing that perfect line right down the middle? Obviously, it's not the Earth. So what's causing it? Unless the moon is being illuminated from the light it gets from the sun. It says the sun has 7 times the light of the moon, but over a 14-day period, pours it into the moon, and then the moon projects its own unique light. So in reality, I believe it's a crystalline plasma light, and it cannot be landed on. And the same thing with the sun. It is a light, and you can't land on light.
So what's calling the solar, causing all the solar flares and the sunspots?
I don't know. I would assume it's part of the function of the sun. There are some things that NASA talks about that I agree with. I believe there are solar flares. I also believe the sun goes through a warming and cooling period. And in reality, you know, they talk so much about climate change. I think the sun is actually going through a dimmering period where things are going to get colder and not necessarily warmer. I don't think we're having climate change as much as we are having climate chaos, where it's really cold in one part of the country abnormally and then really hot abnormally. And then you might have an intense hurricane here, more so than over there, but I think it's more global. I don't even want to use the word global. It's more flat chaos, climate chaos, not climate change.
So what tipped the scales for you to the flat Earth theory?
I was doing the radio show on RBN from 2014 to 2016, and eventually I got fired from the show because I wouldn't stop talking about flat Earth. I just started talking to flat earthers. I had a caller who initially said, you know, you should check it out. And I thought, yeah, okay, but it sounds insane. Why would anybody even consider that the Earth is flat? What I've come to realize is that when you say the Earth is flat, that really isn't the full story. It's more like a Chicago pizza. Yeah, it's flat, but it's extremely thick. I mean, thousands of miles thick. And the Antarctic ice wall is, in fact, 60,000 miles in circumference. It holds in all of the oceans. And we're told that the ball Earth is 24,901 miles, but just the Antarctic ice wall is 60,000 miles in circumference. And what really did it for me was just hammering this subject day after day for about 6 months and finally coming to the conclusion that it's flat. And I remember on my radio show going 51-49 one night and saying, I think it's flat. Based on all the evidence and everything I've studied, I think reading the Book of Enoch, the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilees, Jasher, the Book of Giants, and then lining that up with the Bible, and then reading the secret teachings of all ages by Manly P. Hall really got me into the occultic side of what the agenda is for the Illuminati and the One World Order, the Luciferians, who in fact run this place, and their actions confirm it. I think for me, it had to be the Antarctic Treaty. The fact that you had Admiral Byrd go down there, and he talks about a land much greater than the United States that's unexplored, and then all the nations of the world sign a treaty saying nobody can go down to Antarctica, and it is the longest treaty in existence. The United States and Russia, despite our differences right now, we're on the same page. Nobody is allowed to go to Antarctica. You can take a plane flight like with Qantas and skim along the coast, but you cannot go interior Antarctica. And if you do, you'll eventually be shot down. Why?
Why?
Because the dome is eventually what you're going to run into. And then after the dome, what are you going to run into after that? I have no idea. Nobody does. All I know is that you are not allowed to go into interior Antarctica. And I believe the reason is, and again, getting back to Enoch, he talks about where God showed him where the dome meets the earth. So at some point, you reach a part of the earth where it meets the firmament dome. And then after that, is there in fact more land? And I think there is. And I think part of the reason that they sealed it off is because they don't want the world to know that this place was built by intelligent design. If it ever came or became common knowledge, a common belief that the earth was flat, the first thing that would happen is that the stock market would crash and we would have a war. And people generally would freak out. And there would be complete
chaos. Just over the shape of the earth, you think?
Absolutely. If it was common knowledge, if it became, they took a plane and they showed you where the dome meets the earth, and they showed you the Antarctic ice wall, all of it that encloses all the oceans, and they came on television and they said, we've been lying to you for years, we live on a flat earth. If they were to do that, they would probably have to follow it immediately with our alien overlords' disclosure. This ties into panspermia.
Well, as I talked about the other night with the alien disclosure, we may avoid the nuclear war. With nuclear war, who cares about disclosure? And I guess we could just throw that same argument here into this. If nuclear war happens, none of this matters because there's nothing left. Lee, we lost you. I think that's going to have to do it on the show with Lee Austin tonight, but I appreciate him coming on from Morningstar's Tale. The links are up at my website at ParanormalRadio.com. Tomorrow night, it is Paranormal News Night, which means we're going to talk about some news items that have been, in the headlines that we haven't been able to cover in depth on the program. We're off on Wednesday night, and then on Thursday night, back in the saddle here for you. And Saturday night, we broadcast live from Nightmare on Main Street in Oregon City, Oregon. That's a free event. You can come out and see the show. 6:30 for those in Oregon City on Saturday night. We've got the event page up on Facebook, and a link to it will be coming on our website. From the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, I'm Jeremy Scott. Good night.